Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Not only is it National Chocolate Covered Raisin Day today, but it is also World TB Day today. And I've noticed that you would rather talk about National Chocolate Covered Raisins than you would about tuberculosis. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. I'm not proud of you right now. I'm not angry. Maybe just a bit disappointed. Well, we decided to rectify that. Dr. Navesh Sewell, healthcare practitioner. He's a physician and pulmonologist. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yeah. Hi, morning. How are you? I actually have to admit, those chocolate-colored raisins, that's not
You know what? You would rather talk about chocolate-covered raisins, wouldn't you? Shame on you as well, then.
I have to admit, I can't argue about that. Yeah, chocolate-covered raisins.
But that isn't that the point, really, is that a conversation like something around TB, tuberculosis, is something that we find hard to have. You know, we've always lived with it in the country. It's always in the background. It's always there. It's quite not quite as delightful as chocolate-covered raisins, and certainly not as sexy as COVID. So that's a problem, right?
So remember, these are diseases that have been around far longer than COVID, and far longer than these are diseases that people have found, 3,000 years ago in microbacterial sort of evidence of it. So tuberculosis is a very old disease. And it's always had this really unsexy look to it. It's the disease of so-called poverty. It's the disease of the third world. Nobody likes talking about it. And in fact, in some weird and wonderful ways, if people want to have aspirational diseases, this is not one of the aspirational diseases that people would like to have.
Right.
But it's something that's a lot more ubiquitous than we think about. Firstly, tuberculosis affects far more people and unfortunately kills far more people every year than we'd like to either keep count or actually like to make note of. And yes, it's a disease that has issues with socioeconomic impact. And by that I mean this. Most of us have been exposed to tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is a bacteria. It's kind of a bacteria. We call it mycobacteria, but all intents and purposes, it's a slow bug. As opposed to something like COVID, which is a rapid bug, this is a slow bug. And it's everywhere and all around. We breathe it in every day. You walk around shopping malls, you're breathing this in. In a country like ours, most of us have been vaccinated against it. There's been no real arguments about COVID vaccines and cell phone signals. Most of us have had a BCG vaccine.
Right.
That is what it is if we've grown up here.
Right.
Now, if your immune system is fine, then really you don't have any access to tuberculosis. You don't have active TB. And we may have been exposed to it. There may actually be evidence of tuberculosis in our lungs if you had to look hard enough. And in fact, we'd find that some people who are planning on immigrating, that used to be the typical one. Some of the countries would expect you to have either a test that looked at your skin or an x-ray. And, we've often patients have been perfectly fine. And they say, what do you mean I've been exposed to TB? Because certain countries are worried about TB control for immigration purposes. So you could walk around with TB fairly healthily for a while. But once your immune system drops, that's when you start getting the disease of tuberculosis. And it's a slower growing disease, it is insidious, and it can be absolutely devastating and deadly. The typical one we talk about is lung disease, and obviously I'm a lung specialist, so we talk about pulmonary tuberculosis, which is what people sort of would imagine your typical TB to be. So someone coughs a lot of sputum and phlegm up, sometimes there may be blood, they'll have things like losing lots of weight for a while. They'll sweat a lot in the middle of the night. They'll lose their appetite. And that's the typical tuberculosis that we remember from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Now, remember, we've had a few things where there was a fair amount of TB control because this is related to your immune system.
Yeah.
But with the advent in the sort of mid-80s of the HIV pandemic, we suddenly started seeing an upsurge in tuberculosis cases. And right now, for the average person around, if you'd mention what is tuberculosis, the first thing they'll associate with, well, it has to be something related to HIV, which is also one of the misconceptions that's around because, for 1,000-odd years before HIV, tuberculosis was around. So really, it's not only associated with HIV, it's associated with any sort of drop in your immunity. And realistically, we've seen patients who are perfectly healthy otherwise present with tuberculosis, and sometimes it's not as obvious because your immune system is generally okay. You may not have lots of weight loss or lots of anything.
We
may
and that's find why it was called... chronic That's why it was called consumption, right? Because people were being wasted away.
Exactly, and they're wasted away. And before we had adequate antibiotics, people were either put into areas of high altitude, so they sent them up into the mountains, because the thought was if you starve these bugs of oxygen, they may be better. None of these things really work.
Right.
But in the advent of antibiotic therapy, we have effective therapies for this, for treatment of tuberculosis right now. And the problem that we're having is that because it's a slow-growing bug, it takes a long time to actually treat. So once we diagnose tuberculosis in someone, and we're talking about people, I've seen kids who go to the local schools who are very affluent, and they end up with tuberculosis, and the parents come to me and think, what have I done wrong? You know, is there something that we've done? And sometimes we never find an immune problem. We just find some kid who's stressed, who hasn't been eating particularly well, or whatever the case may be. So it's not as obvious as we think. Not everybody has to have a big immune disease to actually develop tuberculosis. But it is treatable. It is.
Well, that was my next question. Is it treatable? Can we cure it?
It is absolutely treatable, and it is curable. Now, there's a few caveats to this as well. Because it's a slow-growing bug, it takes a long time to treat. If one had to get a bladder infection, one would think that with between 1 and 3 doses of antibiotics is all that you would need. For a bug like this that grows slowly, you'd need a minimum of 6 months of treatment, which is where the first bone of contention is that most people don't like taking anything for a day, let alone for 6 months. And that's part of the problem. They're not nice antibiotics. You have to take quite a few of them. There's usually 4 drugs that you have to take for the first few months. And they're not pleasant to take, but they are effective. The problem that we've had is that if people start feeling better very soon, they tend to stop their therapy. And the biggest issue we've had, and unfortunately we in South Africa have become somewhat world leaders in this, is that when someone stops their treatment early, you develop a very high rate of what we call resistance. So the bugs get quite clever, and they suddenly stop responding to those antibiotics that we gave. And if it's resistant to more than one, we call it multi-drug-resistant TB. Now, these are fairly nasty things because if you've already got a fairly small armamentarium of what to treat tuberculosis with,
you don't want to blow some of them that you do have. Absolutely.
And now you're having to use intravenous therapies as well, which can be quite toxic, and they can cause lots of side effects in terms of kidneys and ears and things like that. So when someone has multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis, that is also a problem. You have to treat it for longer. You have to use more antibiotics and different antibiotics. And unfortunately, there's something now where there's superbugs with everything, whether it's a superbug bladder infection, whether it's a superbug viral infection like COVID, or whether it's a superbug tuberculosis, there's something called XDR, which is extreme drug resistance, which is basically resistant to most antibiotics we have. And unfortunately, a few years ago, we in northern KwaZulu-Natal were one of the first countries to describe a cluster of these. South Africa became world famous for the wrong thing, unfortunately.
Once again, what do we look out for? In terms of our children or in terms of people around us with regard to TB?
Yeah, the thing about tuberculosis, firstly, it can affect the lungs, but it can affect everything else. You can get TB in the abdomen, in the pelvis, and everywhere else. But usually
you're talking to a hypochondriac, third generation, so now I'm convinced.
I'm convinced
that I've now got TB. Where else can I get it, did you say?
Well, you can get it all over your body. You can get it in your abdomen. You can get it in your joints, in your bones, in your spine, and ligaments. But usually in that case, people like that have immune problems that are fairly obvious.
Okay.
But with the normal run-of-the-mill, normal tuberculosis, what we find is that it usually affects the lungs
first.
And those are fairly easy to pick up. The point is, not everybody should go around trying to look for a TB test right now. Most people who start coughing, it's usually an upper respiratory viral infection. Well, it used to be those until COVID came around. But as the country is opening up again, remember what's going to happen is there's going to be fewer mask mandates. There's going to be more children at creches and things like that. So you're going to find a spread of normal respiratory virus. So So people shouldn't panic the first time you have a cough, because most of the time it's going to be a simple upper respiratory viral infection. We shouldn't forget about COVID, because that would be the first thing to worry about. But if someone is persistently coughing, persistently short of breath, persistently having chest issues, usually what the doctor would do is look for the usual suspects. But after a while, start doing things like a chest x-ray. And a chest x-ray is a very good screening test, because if there's any foreshadowing there, things that look abnormal on a chest x-ray will lead to further investigation. Usually by that stage, with a few basic blood tests and a few x-rays, we could diagnose fairly effectively if there is a problem that needs to be looked at further, and there may be further investigations. But the thing is, if you have tuberculosis in your lungs, and if you cough it up into a bottle, and the laboratory has a look at it, they'll be able to tell us what it is. And that's basically how we do it. Sometimes it needs a little bit more complicated investigations, like perhaps putting a needle or doing a biopsy into certain things. But for all intents and purposes, if you have it in your lungs and you're coughing up phlegm, a very simple test that we advise most doctors and clinics to do is to get a sample of this sputum or phlegm, get it off to a laboratory, and invariably they'll tell you what is going in there.
Dr. Navesh Sewial, healthcare practitioner specializing as a physician and a pulmonologist, thank you for bringing us up to date on TB, on tuberculosis, and educating us the way we certainly need it.